Let's read the Bible today. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace on those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what has been told to them, told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Thanks, Katie, for reading that. That was beautiful. Yeah, we all enjoyed reading that with you. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. We're going to spend some time looking at that passage and see what God has to say to us on this beautiful day. Let's pray before we do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be here. And Lord, we thank you for your word, which was just read to us. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit will be at work in us, Lord, helping us to understand and also helping us to live out the word and to obey your word in the way that you want us to do, in a way that will honor you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas is a season to move, isn't it? It's a season to move, a time to move. I don't know about your house, at our place, it is a time, a season of moving the old decorations out of the everyday decorations out, and then bringing out the Christmas decorations, and then all their everyday tablecloths and table runners and their the plates and cups get moved out, and the Christmas stuff moves in. The furniture gets moved to make way to the Christmas tree. And then the everyday songs that we listen gets kind of put to a side, and the Christmas playlist of 2023 moves in to our Spotify list. Lots of moving, isn't it? Lots of conversations, consultations. Does it go there? Does it look good here? What do I do with this one? Is it worth moving all these things from here to there? Because after all, in a few weeks' time, we're going to move them all back, isn't it? So is it worth? If you think about it, Christmas is about a big move, isn't it? It's about a big move. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we have these words. It says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we've been singing that this morning, haven't we? Emmanuel, God with us, God who has come to be with us. And the Advent season, as I mentioned last week, Advent means the coming of the Messiah. And the reason that we celebrate Christmas is because the God of heaven has made this big move to be born as a human being in Jesus. As we look closely at this passage that was read to us this morning, we see the God who moves, don't we? The God who moves. Around this humongous move of God becoming a human being, God is moving the earth. If you look at it, verses 1 to 7 and verses 8 to 14, God is moving the heavens. And then in verses 15 to 21, Luke kind of points out how people responded to these events. So we're going to look at those three points this morning. God moving the earth, the heavens, and how should we respond? Let's have a look at this passage. First, in verses 1 to 7, God moves the earth. God moves the earth. And if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2 begins with the mention of two powerful earthly leaders. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, and Quirinius, the governor of Syria. Let's go back. Quirinius, the governor of Syria. And Caesar Augustus, this powerful leader, he orders this census. Probably for tax purposes. Everyone had to go to their birth town to be registered, so everybody obeyed. I mean, nobody would stand against Caesar Augustus. They obeyed and they traveled far and wide. Took days for some people. And verse 4, we are told that Joseph and Mary, too, they went from Nazareth in Galilee Judea to Bethlehem, because Joseph belonged to the line and the house of David. And while in Bethlehem, we are told that Mary gave birth to a little baby, verses 6 to 7, and she and Joseph lived in this inn for a little while. And I won't go into the details of the inn and the manger, but I want us to reflect this morning is the minor but very important detail of the location, Bethlehem. You know, Joseph and Mary, they didn't have to go to Bethlehem, you know. They could have easily given birth to their son, their baby, in the comfort of their home, surrounded by their family and friends. But God had other plans, didn't He? Plans that He made before the time began. In the Old Testament, the prophet Micah, he actually reveals one of these plans of God when he said, "You Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. God's promised king, the savior of the world, would come from Bethlehem, this insignificant, not to mention a small, not much known town, isn't it? So what does God do to make sure that Jesus is born where he promised he would be born hundreds of years ago? He gets involved in politics, worldly politics, doesn't he? He moves the earthly leaders, the politicians, even without their knowledge, to do his will. For Augustus, as I mentioned, it would have been very much about getting more taxes. But for God, it is being faithful to his promises, isn't it? And we might say, well, it's not a big deal if Jesus was born in Nazareth or in Bethlehem. It's just a minor detail. I mean, what matters is Jesus is born. That's all that matters. But friends, for God, minor details matter. If God said something was going to happen, even if it is a minor detail, it will happen the way he promised. Why does he do that? He does that to show that he's faithful. He's trustworthy to his words. And it should encourage us to know, even today, that God is not only interested in just these mighty details of the world. No, he's interested in the insignificant, minor details of our lives. And he makes sure that those minor details are looked after. Even if that means that he would move the hearts of rulers or order a census or change bosses or move you suburbs or states, even a country. Friends, I don't know about you, every now and then I kind of come across people that God has placed in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. I wonder, what are the chances that this could have happened without God's oversight? They're not accidents, isn't it? Maybe a doctor or a manager or a policeman kind of right there at the right time, the right place. And I think we might need to keep our eyes open. Mind open to see those instances and praise God for his faithfulness to his promises, even for us, that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he will protect his people. And secondly, that we see is God moves the heaven, isn't it? God moves the heaven. In verses 8 to 14, in these few verses, a group of shepherds get to hear the good news, don't they? They hear who Jesus is. Jesus is the good news that brings great joy, not just to one group of people, but to all people. Why? Because he is the Savior of the world. He is the promised Christ, the Messiah. He is the Lord of the universe. Now, I know we can spend three sermons on those three identities of Jesus, isn't it? He is the one who brings great joy to the whole world. Verse 14, Jesus is God's peace on earth. Isn't it? Jesus is God's answer to our war with God. Oh my God, what war? I'm not at war with God. But that's what we do when we disobey God, don't we? You know, God created us to live the way he wants us to live. And we read in the book of Genesis that our first fathers, our first parents disobeyed God. And we have ever since done that. We kind of declared war against God, haven't we? And Bible calls it sin. And Bible also says that God hates sin. He's angry at sin. How do we know that he's so angry at sin? We see the same Jesus who was born on Christmas Day that we celebrate after 33 years. He died on a cross. He gave his life to appease God's anger on our sin. And at the death of Jesus, the war ended. So there is peace. There's peace between God and those who have believed in Jesus. Regardless of our ethnicity, our gender, age, all of us can be friends with God by believing in Jesus. And that is great news, isn't it? That is great news for the whole mankind who is rebelling against God. And did you notice who first announced this message? Not men, but angels. Angels, isn't it? Verse 9, the angel of the Lord. Verse 13 and 14, a great company of angels. And in fact, if you read the birth stories of Jesus, there is a lot of angelic activity. Angels appear to Zechariah, appears to Mary and Joseph, now here to a group of shepherds. Now, we sometimes say, you know, Jesus had this very humblest birth. Yes, he did. He was born in a manger among animals. But if you scan the history of humanity, there has never been a king or a prominent person who had angels singing at their birth, right? Jesus had. I guess what Luke wants us to see in verses 1 to 14 of Luke chapter 2 is that God literally moved the heavens and the earth to bring his son Jesus. Because such is the amazingness, as we talked about last week, the specialness of Jesus. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do with a God who moves? So verses 15 to 21 answers that question, isn't it? So what? Why did God move the heavens and the earth to bring his son to this earth? Not just for us to read it every Christmas season and just think about, oh, that's interesting, isn't it? No, he does that so that we may respond in the right way. So how do we respond? Now I want to very briefly outline 7 responses from the next few verses. The very first thing the shepherds did was actually to believe. Believe the angels. Once the angels had gone, they didn't just say, well, that's really interesting. I wonder what that's all about. And they didn't just sit back and go back into their whatever they were doing. No, they believed the good news that brought great joy, isn't it? Now you might wonder, well, I don't see the word believe there. So how do you know that they believed? Yes, it's not there, but they do what believers do. They haven't seen Jesus yet. They've just heard about him, but they were willing to take that next step of faith, weren't they? And again, how do we know? Because they left their sheep on a journey of investigation to discover this Jesus. And that's the second response, isn't it? Don't just believe. Discover Jesus. Get to know him. Investigate. Verse 15, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see what these angels have, what just happened, which the Lord has told us. So they just don't amble. No, they just rush off. And they see and they find the baby who was lying in the manger. In verses 10 to 11, the angels gave them a sign, right? A baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. And that was an invitation for them. Okay, you have information. Now go find for yourself. Go find for yourself whether it's true or not. They had to confirm for themselves. They believed and they investigated. And the third thing that they did was they spread the word. They spread the word. Verse 17. When they had seen, they spread the word concerning Jesus. And what they had been told about this child. You know, shepherds, they're just returning. Just imagine them. They've just seen this baby. They've seen the promise fulfilled. And they're returning. They're telling everyone, hey, look at that. Just go to Bethlehem and see this baby. No, they didn't say anything. They didn't share anything that they dreamed of. Not something that they made up. No, they heard the good news. They saw the good news. And they go around sharing the good news, don't they? And the fourth response we hear is that the shepherds actually praised God. They didn't just stay around the stable. No, they saying how good, how nice it is for us to just stay near the baby and just enjoy his laughter. No, they just said, no, we need to go. And as they were going, they were praising God. They heard, they saw, they spread, and now they returned. And as they returned, they praised God for his faithfulness. They went in search, right? They went in search and they returned praising. And the next response that we see is people who were listening to these shepherds, they were amazed. They were amazed. And those who heard what the shepherds said, verse 18, they were all amazed. Luke does not tell us that they believed in Jesus yet. They were amazed. There was something in this message that stirred their heart. Probably their hopes were refreshed. They've been waiting for this news for a long time. And now their hopes are refreshed and renewed. And they were amazed at what they heard. And the last two responses come from Mary. Isn't it? While others were amazed, Mary took Jesus very seriously. Verse 19, have a look at that. Luke says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, you see, she wasn't just amazed. As she took the next step of trying to piece everything together. What does all this mean? The angels, the shepherd, the virgin birth. Who is this child? And she took that time to seriously consider everything. That's what it means to ponder and treasure in her heart. Finally, you see the response of obedience, isn't it? After all this happened, Luke says in verse 21, that on the eighth day, on the day of circumcision, Mary gave the baby the name Jesus. The name that the angel gave her before she was conceived. See, Mary was obedient. I mean, she could have said, oh, I'm going to just name whatever I want to. No, she was obedient. She knew God has been faithful. She knew God has the best interest of her. She knew that God could be trusted. So she heard, she pondered, and she obeyed God's word. Now it is interesting, isn't it? The story began by people obeying an earthly ruler. And the story ends by a humble lady obeying God. And I think that's the response that Luke wants us to have too. Obedience to God's word. So I want to put it to you this morning. At Christmas, we remember how God moved the heavens and the earth to bring His King, our Savior, to the world. How are you going to respond today? Is it to believe? Perhaps this may be the first time that you're hearing the good news of Jesus. And the best and the first response is to believe that Jesus is your Savior, that He died to make you right with God, to forgive your sins, and to make you right with God. And if you have believed, is it to keep investigating, discovering, keep getting to know Jesus? Is that going to be your response today? To meet this Jesus face to face. You could do that by reading the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels. You could do that by attending a Christianity Explored course. And if you have found what you have been looking for, then it might be the time for you to spread the word around. Learn how to talk to strangers about Jesus, how to share the good news of Jesus. Maybe that is a response that you need to take today. Perhaps for some of you it is to be amazed at Jesus. Because, you know, as we saw last week, Jesus is amazing, isn't He? And for some of us, we over time, we get so used to Jesus. And we've lost the specialness, the amazingness of Jesus, haven't we? And perhaps this morning that you need to rediscover how amazing Jesus is and what He has done. His grace, His love, His forgiveness. You might need to be amazed at Jesus. Or for others, it might be a time to praise Jesus. Praise God for His faithfulness. Shepherds, you know, they went back to minding their sheep. But they took Jesus with them, didn't they? And they remembered to praise God and glorify God. And maybe that's what you need to do today. Don't leave Jesus in the church. Don't leave Jesus at your devotion time in the mornings or in the evenings. No, take Jesus with you to your workplace, to your friends, and talk about Him. Talk about His faithfulness in your life. And like Mary, you might need to be serious about your relationship with Jesus. And for some, it may be a time to obey the words of Jesus. If He's your Savior, then He needs to be your Lord as well. You can't just have a ticket to heaven and say, okay, I'm free. No, he is Savior and Lord. And we need to make a commitment to obey God's commands, His words. On Friday, we were at a wedding at St. Mary's Cathedral. And after the service, we all went out to the steps of the cathedral in front, and we all flocked together to the group photo. And so we were all standing up there, and then the photographer is right at the bottom, right? I know you're trying to look for us, don't you? We're not there. This is not our photo. Right? The story is, the photographer is at the bottom and he yells out, "If you can't see the camera from where you are, you need to move." Right? Photographers might know this because you won't be seen in the picture. This morning, if you can't see Jesus from wherever you are, you need to move. Because, friends, we can do all the moving during Christmas to make it a rich, festive time. But if we are not seeing the wonder of Christmas, if we're not seeing that God moved heaven and earth to bring His Son to the world, to bring His salvation to us, if there is no movement in your heart to believe, to be amazed, to investigate, to share, to obey, to worship, friends, none of the other moving is going to help. It's just going to be a seasonal thing. It's going to be just an outward moving. God's after that heart movement, isn't it? He wants us not just to admit that, yes, Jesus is born. No, He wants us to believe in our hearts, and He wants to see that in action, the way we live. And our prayer, my prayer this morning, is that God, who moved the heavens and the earth, will move yours and my heart toward Him. So let me pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that You did not spare any effort or energy, any power to bring Your Son, Jesus, to us. Because He is the only way that we can be saved. And so this morning, Heavenly Father, we pray, please move our hearts. Whatever the response You want us to have today, move our hearts, because, Lord, without You moving our hearts, my words, nobody else's words, no sermon is going to work. So I pray, Father, for anyone and everyone who is here, and who may be watching as well, Lord, that You will be at work moving their hearts towards You. And we give You thanks, because You are a faithful God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.